You know, every day, all of us talk about our great faith in God and how we ought to have faith in our Lord. I read a story that said it had been raining for days and days. Wish it could be here. And a terrible flood had come over the land, kind of like it is up during the Midwest there, or actually during down on the Mississippi River up through Tennessee and down. But anyway, the waters rose so high that one man was forced to climb onto the roof of his house. You can only imagine. And the waters rose higher and higher, and as they did so, a man in a rowboat appeared and told the man to get in. And the man replied by saying no. He said, I'm going to stay here. He said, I have faith in the Lord, and the Lord will save me. So the man in the rowboat went away, and the man on the roof prayed for God to save him. And the waters rose higher and higher, and suddenly the speedboat appeared. Climb in, shouted the man in the boat. No, replied the man on the roof. I have faith in the Lord, and the Lord will save me. So the man in the speedboat went away, and the man on the roof prayed for God to save him. And the water continued to rise, and a helicopter appeared, and over the loudspeaker, the pilot announced that he would lower a rope so that the man on the roof could get in. No, replied the man on the roof, I have faith in the Lord, and the Lord will save me. So the helicopter went away, and the man on the roof prayed for God to save him. And the waters rose higher and higher, and eventually they rose so high that the man on the roof was washed away, and alas, the poor man drowned. Upon arriving in heaven before God, the man marched straight over to the Lord God, and he said, Heavenly Father, he said, I had faith in you. I prayed to you to save me, and you did nothing. But why? And God gave him a puzzled look and replied, I sent you two boats, a helicopter. What more did you expect? You know, sometimes I wonder, when we ask God to bless us, are we really looking for an answer? I want to talk to you tonight about faith exercises that you and I should live by. The Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. And in Romans 1 and verse 17, quoting from a passage over in the book of Habakkuk, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. For in the righteousness of God, it is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But what kind of faith picture do you have in your mind tonight? What kind of faith picture do you have for your family? What kind of faith picture do you have for your marriage or for your business or for your relationship with other people? John would write these words in the closing letter of the epistle of 3 John. And he would say in chapter 1, he said, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Do you know God wants you to be in prosperity? A lot of times people think it's wrong to prosper. It's wrong to have health. It's wrong to have wealth. Not true at all. I believe that God's people ought to desire to prosper and to do better in their lives. And I know that by faith, God can bring that about. But what is faith's definition anyway? I like the rendition of the Amplified Bible that says, Now faith is the assurance, that is the confirmation, the life deed, he says, of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not yet see, and the conviction of their reality, for faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. That is, we ought to believe that God is going to do something wonderful in our lives as his people. Even though we cannot see that, even though we cannot maybe from our vantage point be able to see how in the world that God is going to bring that about. But the Bible teaches us that faith brings about assurance and conviction. When your faith is solid and based upon God, it stands under the situation and supports it with assurance, whatever it is. It is being convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt that God is going to handle and take care of the situation. Have you ever thought about the word faith? Faith is kind of like hope. It's always pointing to the future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, the future being better. We must see tomorrow in the light of God's abilities, not our abilities to bring it about. So many times in our lives, we always think about what we can do. And I hear people say all the time, well, I would do that, but I just can't see my way clear to do it. And so they never really climb faith's ladder. They never really exercise their faith in God. They're just content to just stay right where they are and maintain the status quo in their life. But faith has as its object the things not seen. You know, I just believe it's so beyond us tonight to really be able to comprehend what God could really do in our lives if we exercise great faith. Jesus said one time, if you had even the grain of a mustard seed, he said, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it would be removed into the sea. How many mountains do we face every day in our life? It may be a financial mountain. It may be a mountain in your relationship with your family. It may be a mountain that involves your health. And you don't know exactly how you're going to climb that mountain. But I know one thing, that we can climb it by faith in God. Faith has as its object, again, things not seen. Faith is fixing our attention on the things that we cannot see. Now, if we could really see it, it's kind of like Paul goes on to describe hope. He said, if it's something that we already have received, then there's no hope. It's hope for the future. It is a faith that sees beyond our inability to accomplish what we can accomplish in life. In Romans 8, in verse 5 and 6, Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh, he says, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the Spirit. And he says, these are the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, that is to be thinking about the flesh or the things of the world, he said, that is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's why Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7 is so important to me, where Solomon says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your understanding. Notice what he said. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him, and that's faith. And he will direct your paths, and do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, he says, and depart from evil. Now, as Christians, we are now a people of faith. We are. Which means God wants us to move in realms of faith rather than unbelief. But you know, so many of us are given to timidity in life. We never really think about complicity to God's will and what God wants, but we generally think about how we feel and what we can see. We are creatures that just move about based upon what we see and not what we cannot see. Do you ever wonder why we are so quickly to receive those things that are negative and unwanting in our lives? I think sometimes that is attributed to the fact that that is what we expect to get. I'm a firm believer that God gives us based upon our expectation, because that is faith. Now, you know, for a long time in the Brotherhood of Our Lord, we chided people who said, well, you know, you ought to really expect the best. You ought to really be thinking about something that God is going to do in a magnanimous and wonderful way in your life. And many of us do not do that. We're just content to kind of have the things that fall from the table of those who have and not those who have not. Well, I believe that God blesses us in proportion to our faith. It is because of our doubt and our unbelief, and that we have been so entrenched in this concept of just being what we are right now and never really thinking about it ever being any better. Well, let me share with you tonight some faith exercises. What can we do to exercise our faith? And after all, faith is no good if you don't exercise. It's kind of like a muscle. It will atrophy. You know, and what happens? If you don't use your faith, it dies, doesn't it? Well, in order for faith to grow, it must be exercised on a daily basis. Faith is not something that you come to church on Sunday morning and exercise and sing about, for a faith that will not shrink. That's not the kind of exercise that I'm talking about. It is not an exercise in saying, well, you know, I went to Bible class and I went to worship on Sunday and Sunday night, and I even went on Wednesday night and I exercised my faith. But do you exercise your faith on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Now, that's where we have to exercise our faith, isn't it? And our growth in faith is similar to our natural growth in the deterioration of our bodies. And as I've told you before, we don't like to admit it, but our bodies are deteriorating. I see you wasting away. Now, we all are. You know what? We're making a hasty journey toward the grave. We are. You get up on some morning, you go to the mirror, and you look at yourself, and you see another wrinkle. See another liver spot? Ah! Little less hair? Little more weight? You start aching in your back. Your feet hurt you. Your head starts hurting. I mean, all these things are the result of the physical deterioration. Paul said that the outward man is wasting away, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. But when we were young, our bodies just grew. We didn't worry about anything. Did y'all worry about your cholesterol when you were 20 years old? Any of you worry about, you even heard of cholesterol? You ever hear about your triglycerides when you were a teenager? Did you rush home from a date and say, oh, I blew it tonight. My triglycerides must be real high. No, you didn't do that. You didn't worry about what you ate. You didn't come in and say, oh, I shouldn't have eaten that ice cream. I've got to leave that bluebell off. But our bodies, we just did anything in the world that we wanted. We did. And when we were young, our bodies were growing. But as we begin to age, we have to learn that we have to start eating right and exercising in order to preserve the strength in our body. Do you know what? The same is true in a spiritual sense. Do you know that when you were younger and you became a Christian, you remember how vibrant you were and how excited you were about being in God and being in the church and how important that was to you? But you know what? The older that you get, the struggle intensifies. Because the devil places before us numerous things that keep us from growing in Christ. And so we have to exercise our faith in God. Let's talk about some of them quickly here. Number one, we ought to begin each day with a faith picture of what we see God doing in us. Think about that. Do you ever look to see what God is doing in you? We always pray, do we not? God, may the world be able to see Christ living within us. Do they see Jesus living in your life? What kind of faith picture do you have of yourself and what God is doing in you? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We need to begin to picture in our mind what we want God to do in our lives, in our marriage, in disciplining our children, in our relationship, and in our finance, and in every dimension of our lives. And as we meditate about our day, we need to expect God to speak to our heart. Now, I'm not saying God speaks audibly to your mind, but I do believe that God speaks to your heart. I think that when you pray about it, God puts it in your mind and in your heart what you need to be doing. I've told you that before. And then we ought to be able to see what God is doing in our lives. Listen to what he says again. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. Don't think you're going to exercise your great faith based on your understanding, because it isn't going to get exercised, folks. It's not. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him. And that means to turn to him and let God work through us. So begin every day with a faith picture of what you see God doing. You know, I see God doing great things every day in my life. I mean, in the lives of other people. It is amazing what God can do. There was an old song that I remember as a child. I'd hear quartet sing it. It was called Little Is Much If God Is In It. And you know what? It's true, isn't it? Little is much. I think it was Zechariah in the Old Testament who said, despise not the day of small things. Because God can take, listen, God could take a young boy's lunch and feed thousands. He could allow his servant David to take just a few stones and take a giant that taunted the people of God out forever. Little things. Little things. He could take note of a poor widow who gave very little into the treasury of God, but she gave by faith. But then there's a second thing. Begin to confess to one another the things that you see God doing. You know, we've been afraid sometimes, I think, in the church to really talk about what God does in our life and how he works. And, you know, people get up and talk about testifying and all this kind of stuff. But you know what? I really believe that we ought to be telling the world what God is doing in our lives, and I think we ought to be telling one another. Let me tell you what God did for me. You think that doesn't strengthen your faith? It does mine. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 13, Paul says, but since we have the selfsame spirit of faith according to that which is written, he said, I believed and therefore I spoke, and we also believe and therefore we speak, he says. Listen to the book of Philemon, that small little book over in the New Testament, only one chapter, but in verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what does it say? Paul says the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, he says, by which we preach. What do you desire to see God doing in your life on a daily basis? If God were to come down here tonight, which he's not going to do, but I'm going to tell you he wants this, he desires it, and you read the word, you have to come to the conclusion that he does. If God were to say to you, what do you want, God? What do you want me to do in your life? What would you be able to say? How would you respond to such a question as that? What do you want God to do in your life? You must confess those things one to another. Now, you know, we ought to be able to pray for one another that those things might be accomplished. But then there's a third thing. How do you exercise your faith in God? Not just by beginning to confess to one another the things that you see God doing, or looking in your own life and saying, hey, God is doing this in my life. But faith comes by looking for and finding a biblical solution to all the dilemmas, the adversities, and the problems of life. Many times we search in the wrong place. We're kind of like the rich young ruler who is looking in the wrong place for the answer to the question, how might I inherit eternal life? He went to the world, but that didn't satisfy. Now he goes to Jesus and he receives an answer and he says, sell what you have, give to the poor and come and follow me. But then he walks away sorrowful. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to that which is written. He says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success in life. I believe that when we rely upon the will of God and when we do the will of God, that God blesses us in proportion to our faith. Now, that's why I'm telling you tonight, we need to be a people that exercise our faith in God. You want your faith, it's kind of like your body, isn't it? You want your body to be stronger? You exercise that body, don't you? You do. Do you want to be a weakling the rest of your life? You don't have health problems? Give up the exercise program. You want to have a strong faith in God? Start exercising your faith. And then fourthly, develop in your mind your faith picture and then put it into action. For James 2, verse 14 through 26 says, if someone says that he has faith and does not have works, can faith save him? Can it? Faith by itself without works is nothing. It's dead. And then he says, do you see that faith working together with works, and that by a man's works his faith is made perfect. There was a Christian man one time who worked at transporting tourists across the lake. And the tourists would get in the boat, and they didn't have a motor, but the man had two oars. On occasions, he would present the gospel with its implications to those who were in that little boat in kind of a really unusual sort of way. He took something and wrote on the oar, on one of them, faith. And then he wrote on the other oar the word works. When they got some distance from the shore, he would stop. Then, beginning with only one oar marked faith, he would cause the boat to go around in circles to the left. You can imagine, only one oar in the water. And reversing the process, he would pull on the other oar marked works. He'd put the faith oar up, and they would circle in the opposite direction. By this time, the bewildered passengers were wondering, what in the world is he doing? What in the world is going on? What is this experience all about? And this afforded him a wonderful opportunity to give them the truth concerning discipleship and what the Christian life is really all about. And he would conclude by saying, "You see, neither faith nor works can stand alone. They are twins, and they cannot be separated." James 2 and verse 20. It takes faith in one hand, and it takes works in the other hand to maneuver the boat, to get it going where you want it to go. And so for all the folks tonight that say all you've got to do is believe in God, just have faith, you know what you're going to do? You're just going to go in circles. And the same thing is true with those who say, well, I can work my way to heaven. All I have to do is just work, do enough good works in life, and I'm going to heaven. You know what? You're going in circles. But when you put faith and works together, you get the picture. Do you want serious changes in your everyday life? You have to apply the principles of being a good husband or a wife, as I mentioned this morning, in that relationship also. You have to apply the principles of teaching and training your children right, as well as believing and confessing for it. You see, it's not enough for us to express to God the desires of our heart if we don't take the initiative to get up and do something about it. It's not going to happen. It's kind of like God providing for us. You know, God provides for the birds of heaven. He does. But God doesn't very gently walk over and place it in the nest and say, "Here you are, come and get it." The same thing is true with us. God expects us to take the initiative to do something in our lives. You have to begin to apply the principles of financial integrity and giving, as well as believing. Some people only give when they can see their way clear. After they've robbed Peter to pay Paul, and then John, and then Matthew, and all the rest of them. And we say sometimes, well, you know, God understands. Does God really understand when we don't put him first? Does he really? Are we disillusioning ourselves into believing that? The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purposes. But then last of all, We ought to expect change to occur when we pray and when we exercise our faith in God. It takes a heart of anticipation and a heart of expectation for faith to be fully released. For in Mark 11 and 24, listen to what Christ had to say. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now you don't have to interpret that. This means what it says. You don't have to go back and dissect it and explain it away. I think Christ really meant what he said. It is an exercise in our faith in God. Sometimes people never really see things change in their life because they never really expect it to change. We just assume that it's going to be that way from now on, that it will never change. If you want to see things change in your life, you have to expect it. The psalmist expressed it in this way: "This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it." We must look at it this way, as I said, that faith is a muscle. It must be exercised. Faith is like a sunrise. It is fresh and new every morning. In the morning, if God allows you to live through this night and you see the beginning of the dawn of a new day tomorrow, the page will all be white. And how it looks at the end of the day will be determined by your faith or your lack of it. What do you want God to do in your life tomorrow? What do you really want him to do in your life? It's not enough just to say, this is what I'd like God to do in my life. But we must put the oar of faith in the water, along with the oar of initiative and work, and allow them to lead us where God wants us to be. I hope tonight that if you're a believer in Christ, but sometimes this happens to those of us that are Christians. We're believers in Jesus, but we've taken the oar of anticipation and initiative and work out of the water. And we're just going in circles. Maybe tonight you need to put your faith in action. Exercise your faith in God. And if you're weak as a Christian and you know that God can forgive you and will forgive you when we resolve to do better, this thing of repentance is such an important word. If we're not willing to repent and change, things won't change in your life. But if you expect a change and you want it to be better, confess it to God, confess it to other people what God is doing in your life, and you'll see a dramatic change. You will. I promise you, you will. You know why I can promise that tonight? Because God promises it. And I'm only echoing what he said. If you're not a Christian tonight, would you by faith give your life to Christ by repenting of your sin, changing, that God can do great things in your life? Confess him as Lord, and by being baptized tonight for the forgiveness of sin. Or if you're a Christian, you've strayed away from God and your faith is weak tonight, let me tell you something. God can establish great things in your life through your faith. You must believe. That's why Jesus often said to others, "Oh, you have little faith." I hope he doesn't say that of us tonight while we stand and while we sing.